Let us pray. God, as we hear your word this morning, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, we would hear your very voice. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 through 21. Let us listen together for God's word to us. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person, according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents.' The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over until morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as each needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." For the purposes of a study that was investigating the influence of thinking on marching, some Israeli soldiers were required to make a long march. They were divided into four groups that were not allowed to communicate with one another. Each group went over the same area on the same day with the same backpack. But here's how the groups were different. Group one was told the exact distance that they had to go, 25 miles, and they were kept fully informed along the way about how far they had traveled. The second group was not told how long the march would be, and they were not informed regarding the distance they had traveled. The third group was instructed to cover the distance and told at the last moment, after knowing that they were traveling 25 miles, told at the last moment that they were expected to march further. And meanwhile, the group four was told that they had to go twice as far as the first group, but then they were stopped halfway there. They all walked the same distance, but they walked that distance with different ideas in their heads. And the scientists who conducted this study were measuring the effects of this march in terms of morale and performance, and also changes in body chemistry, especially looking at the hormones in the brain that are elevated when stress increases. And so what they found was the group that did the best, you won't be surprised to know, was the first group. The group that had been told they were going to march this distance, and then along the way they were given updates, so they had clear expectations all along. Groups 3 and 4 both had challenging times, but the group that did the worst was the second group. The group that began their march having no idea how far they would have to go, and having no idea along the way how much ground they had covered. I suspect that right now many of us feel like that second group, wondering, where are we headed? How much further do we have to go? How long will this journey last? But this, of course, is reality. It's not an experiment. And some of us perhaps are wondering if we have enough, if we are enough to get through this difficult journey. What is the wilderness? This is what we're talking about during this current sermon series, looking at the wilderness wanderings of Israel. So it's worth asking, what is the wilderness? Literally, I mean. It's a desert, right? And what is a desert? A desert is an arid place. A desert is a place that receives very little precipitation. Deserts can be hot or cold, but they're always dry. And in an arid place, by definition, water is scarce. And when water is scarce, vegetation is scarce, animal life is scarce. The things that sustain life are scarce. And so by definition, the wilderness is a scarce place. That is what it is. It is defined by its scarcity. How surprising then that the wilderness, this place that is defined by scarcity, is the place where Israel gets this paradigmatic example of God's abundance. How strange that Israel has to venture into the lifeless desert in order to discover that God is the giver of life. How fitting that God's people have to experience scarcity before they can really understand the meaning of abundance. Now, I did warn you at the start of this series that we were going to be jumping around a little bit. We started in chapter 19 of Exodus, then went to 17, and now we're in 16. Part of the reason for that is that I cannot not preach on the story of manna in the desert when it's a communion Sunday. So you'll forgive me for that. We are now going backwards even closer to the Exodus story, even closer to the crossing of the Red Sea. The Israelites have barely wiped the mud off of their heels, and now they're grumbling. Now they're complaining to Moses and to Aaron. And here's what they're saying. If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots. That is, pots, literally, that were used to cook meat. When we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. There are a lot of interesting things about this grumbling, but one that stands out to me is that no matter where the Israelites look, whether they look back to Egypt or whether they look ahead to their wandering in the wilderness, the only thing they see is death. And if not for what God had just done for them, if not for God leading them out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea to safety in the wilderness, if not for that, then they would probably be right to look forward and backward and to see only death, because the wilderness is by definition a place of scarcity, a place that does not easily support life. It is a place of death. And they would be right to see it as that, if not for what God had just done for them. But their hunger blinds them. Their hunger blinds them to what God has just done for them, and it blinds them to what God will still do for them. Instead of opening their eyes to the goodness and the might of God, they have embraced the scarcity of the wilderness. And now their growth is stunted, their vision is clouded, their ability to remain open to new possibilities is gone. Yet in spite of all that, in spite of the grumbling, God decides to do something amazing for Israel. God says, I am going to rain down bread from heaven. But for Israel, for this people who have been grumbling and complaining, a people who are now overwhelmed by the wilderness, a people who can't see clearly, for Israel, this gracious gift is also going to be a test. And here's why God feels the need to test Israel. Israel is overwhelmed by scarcity because they have the wrong idea of abundance. And we often share that very same affliction. Think about kids. Think about the things that kids fight over. Well, they'll fight over just about anything, but a lot of the time, when kids are fighting with each other, it's about getting things. It's about this sense that maybe there's not enough to go around, so they want to be first. They want the first helping. They want the first choice. They want to be first in line. And this is absolutely typical behavior. And I wish I could see you now, because I would guess that you're nodding your head, but I would also guess that you're not laughing, because you know that it's also true of us, because you remember how we behaved just a short time ago when we couldn't get enough toilet paper. In fact, that toilet paper experience is the perfect example of what I'm talking about when I say that we have the wrong understanding of abundance. In the Anderson family, there are a lot of keisters that need wiping, and so we need a lot of toilet paper, and we were concerned, as many of you were, that we would run out. So before we ran out, in fact, before we were even getting low, we bought more toilet paper just so that we could have more than enough. But the stuff we had to buy was terrible. It was the only stuff on the shelves, and so we bought it. And of course, now the shelves are full of that wonderful, soft toilet paper. And we are still miserably working our way through the awful stuff that we had to buy because we didn't think that there would be enough. That is our understanding, friends, of abundance. It's not just not having enough, and we want to make sure that we do have more than enough. It is also wanting to make sure that we have it at our fingertips, that we have it under our control. And if we have more than enough, and if it's right there at hand, and if it's under our control, then we don't have to worry anymore. When Israel remembers Egypt, they say, we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. Notice that language of sat by. They were right next to the sources of food. Food was right there at their fingertips. They had control over their own nourishment and sustenance. They were suffering, but they didn't have to worry. And now in the wilderness, worry is all that they have, because they and we have the wrong idea of what abundance even means. In fact, we have a dangerous idea of what abundance means. When our sense of peace, when our sense of contentment or satisfaction depends on having more than enough and having it under our control, then we will never have enough. We will never have peace. We will never be content. We will never be satisfied. We will always be grumbling in the wilderness. But in contrast to our often dangerous understanding of abundance, God reveals God's own abundance in this story of Israel in the wilderness. With God's abundance, we don't need more than enough. Enough for today is enough for today. And when we try to take more, it becomes rotten and foul. When we try to take more, we become rotten and foul. Bread in the morning, meat in the evening, the abundance of God for God's people in the wilderness. Enough for today. With God's abundance, we don't need to be in control. In fact, we can't be in control of the abundance of God. And when we try to take control, it becomes rotten and foul. We become rotten and foul. Bread in the morning, meat in the evening, God's abundance for the people of God in the wilderness. Just as God provided today, God will provide tomorrow. The wilderness is a place defined by scarcity, or at least it was. For the people of God, however, the wilderness becomes a place that is no longer defined by scarcity, it is defined by God's abundance. Israel has to go into the wilderness to discover God's abundance. Israel has to leave behind the reliable bread in order to taste the bread of heaven. And this wilderness journey of ours is the perfect opportunity to leave behind our misguided ideas of what abundance means and to receive instead the gracious abundance of God. And perhaps we can even be so bold as to hope that this wilderness that we are living in now will not be defined by scarcity, but that this wilderness will be defined by abundance, by the abundance of God. Enough for today is enough for today. And just as God has provided today, so God will provide tomorrow. The abundance of God for God's people in the wilderness. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to let go of our need for more than enough. Help us to let go of our need for control. And instead to trust you to provide the good things in life, to provide what we need for each day. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.